He was considered, I guess, an apostle for the Lord. Smith Wigglesworth is known for raising people from the dead, just being obedient to the Spirit. So that's who, you know, who people know him of. So anyway, but I wanted to read this. I thought this was amazing. It goes right along with what I'm gonna tell you today. It was the power to live in divine health, and this dentist came and questioned Smith Wigglesworth when he was ministering divine health, and he said, "How can you minister on divine health when you yourself have false teeth?" And Smith Wigglesworth replied simply and said, "I'll give a man 5 pounds, you know, whatever that equaled back then, that he can prove that I have false teeth." Well, this man was a dental surgeon, and once he went in and he checked Wigglesworth's teeth, he repented to Smith Wigglesworth. He said, "Not only was his teeth perfect, but they were the best teeth that he'd ever seen in his entire life. For this man to even be 81 years old, he had absolutely perfect teeth." I mean, isn't that just absolutely phenomenal? And I read that, and I want to go over into Genesis chapter 1. Don has it up here on the screen if you don't have your Bibles. But it says, Then God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue the earth, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over every living thing that moves on the earth." When you search in Scripture and you look up the word subdue, what does it mean to subdue? What was God telling Adam and Eve? To subdue the earth. God told Adam and Eve they had total control over everything. See, just like with Joseph, who was under Pharaoh, had total control. Everything had to come to Joseph. The only thing that separated Joseph was the ring, the signet ring. So with this, the only thing that separated them was God. God was, he was all powerful, all present. And he allowed Adam and Eve to have total control. The earth was theirs. They ruled and reigned over everything. But what happened was, and we know the story if you know it, is they fell. They fell to sin and temptation in the garden. But what I wanted to bring about is in Genesis 1:31, it says, "Then God saw everything that he had made. Indeed, it was very good. So the evening and the morning, and there the sixth day." So what God created, he created good. And in the very beginning, it was created perfect. Everything was perfect. And his plan, his divine plan for everything. And when Adam and Eve fell, it messed it all up. And it messed up everything. That's why we have hurricanes. That's why we have tornadoes. That's why we have stuff running rampant through the earth now. All because of that first decision to sin. Okay, and that was Adam and Eve. We can thank them, you know. Give them a hand clap for it. What do you need? You need me to go here? That way y'all can read? I need that too. So, I feel like the Lord has laid on my heart is this. You know, with this divine healing and these things that happen, I had acid reflux, and I don't know if you guys know, if you have acid reflux, once you're diagnosed with it, there's no cure. The only thing you can do is take medication to cover it. No doctors will give you a cure for it. You know, and I've heard even from Christian physicians, you know, believers. Well, you just have to take the medication to treat it. And that hindered me. That hindered me for laying hands on people, for praying for people for their healings, because I thought, you know, and I know a lot of it was an attack, but I think it was meant for my good. But I thought, you know, I said, well, if I can't be healed of acid reflux disease, then why can I lay hands on anybody and pray for them? You know, I said, that just, you know, if I can't be healed of this simple disease, how can I pray for somebody to be raised from the dead, such as Miss Wigglesworth did? You know, how do I have that kind of faith? And I questioned that, and I went to the Lord with it, and I said, Lord, I don't understand this. And I prayed about it for a long time. And God spoke to me in my spirit, and He told me this. He said, I paid it all. He said, I paid for everything on the cross. He said, I paid for your healing. I paid for your deliverance. I paid for everything. Don't you accept less than what I have paid for. Less, you discredit Scripture. You discredit Jesus. You discredit what I paid for. Because I paid for everything. And so my prayer life began to change at that point. So instead of saying, Lord, please heal me. Lord, please heal me. My prayer life turned into, I rebuke this sickness. I command this sickness to flee. I take authority over this sickness. See, Jesus, when He paid it all, not only did He pay it all on the cross, but when He said, it is finished, you know, that wasn't just the forgiveness of sins. That was, we're completely restored back to what Adam and Eve was. See, people are not seeing you move in the church. People are not seeing the church move because what this message is based on is forgotten power. We've got olden Christians that got up, and because they didn't receive their miracle right away, or they didn't receive it right away, well, the Lord's just keeping it on you for da 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 da. Or they like to say, well, it's just a thorn in your side that you're sick. God said that He would have us to be in good health and prosper even as our soul prospers. God is not a God of disease. He's not going to allow you to stay in that. You know, He healed. Think about what Jesus' ministry was. Everywhere He went, He was healing people. Everywhere. Demon-possessed, they had leprosy. I got a few more up there I didn't put in my notes if you want to pull them up. It's the next slide. But everywhere Jesus went was healing, laying hands on people to see them delivered. You know, and we tend to get stuck. You know, when the going gets tough, you know, I can't tell you how many times I prayed for acid reflux to be gone. And it seemed like every time I'd pray for it to leave and rebuke it, that it would come on that much stronger. You know, and it got to the point to where it was just like, Lord, I just, you know, I don't know. I keep rebuking this thing. I keep commanding this thing to leave, but it's not going anywhere, you know. And so, you know, there was a sense of losing hope there in the whole aspect. But, you know, it wasn't a divine revelation that I became healed of it. You know, it wasn't just a big fireworks explosion when it happened. Starting at the beginning of this year, we went on a 21-day fast. We always started off with Jensen Franklin's church. I know you guys probably do too. But, you know, I prayed for that. And it was later on this year before I even realized it. I was taking medicine every single day to deal with it. And I was kind of concerned about my liver constantly having to process those meds. I thought, well, this can't be good. I'm having to process all this medication. You know, I'm having to take this constantly. It just can't be good. And I realized about midway through this year wait a minute. I hadn't had to take any medication. I didn't have to take none. Well, what's going on? I'm eating the same stuff that I ate before. I can eat hot peppers. You know, before I couldn't eat that stuff. Now, I could eat all this stuff that I was eating before, and it's gone. All I can tell you is the acid reflux is gone.
Awesome.
You know, there's no medication to take care of it. There's, you know, I don't need none of that stuff. You know, and what God showed me in that and told me, I feel is very, very important for the body of believers to understand is that through the power and the blood of Jesus, you have all authority over everything under the earth. We don't need this. You can turn that off. We don't even need it. But the woman with the issue of blood, when she had an issue, and if you know the culture and Old Testament times, her with that issue of blood, she wasn't supposed to be around anybody. She wasn't supposed to touch anybody. She was supposed to be to herself because she had, you know, that issue. Well, this woman, when she seen Jesus, she didn't care. She didn't care. She lost it. She said, if I can just only touch his garment, if I can just get to his garment, I know that I will be made whole. So she pushed past all that tradition, all the religion that has said, and she pushed on for the mark. She said, if I could just get to him. See, this stick of gum, what I give you, and this is where I'm going to explain it. When God give you your salvation, let's just call this package your salvation. You're not going to ask me for any more gum, are you? You already have all the gum you need because I gave you a pack. Okay, well, when you open this pack, when you start digging into your salvation and you learn the things of God, guess what lies in here? Your healing, your deliverance, your power. It's all packed in. God give it to you all at once. He didn't say, I'm going to give it to you in portions. He said, when I saved you, when I set you free, I give you all authority. I've restored you back to where Adam and Eve was. Now you take the authority and dominion over the earth, like I said. That was Jesus' whole purpose, is to restore us back to that type of authority. See, and we don't see that anymore. Do you see that in the church? People actually taking authority over activities and you don't see it. It's a forgotten power. It's a total forgotten power. And the encouragement is that as long as you have salvation and you have Jesus as your Lord in your life, you have that power. You possess every bit of the power. The same Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead now lies within us. How much more powerful is than the things of this world? Sickness. You know, I tell Ashley all the time, you know, she's sick right now, you know, with the cold and everything. And I said, you know what? I'm not going to get it. I'm not going to come down with it. I rebuke it. I rebuke it off your life. And I leaned down to give her a kiss this morning before we went to leave. And she said, no. I said, I don't care. I'm not going to catch this stuff. You know, I think we need to step back and get into that type of faith. Believe Jesus for that type of faith. The doctors is out there. They serve a good purpose. I'm not saying they don't. God gave them the wisdom and the knowledge to know the stuff that they do know. But He is all-powerful. He is above every doctor. A doctor told me that I could never be cured of acid reflux disease. A teacher told me that I could never graduate with a regular ed diploma. I got a high school GED. Perfectly normal. So, there's going to be people, just like with the lady with the issue of blood, that's going to stand in your way and say why you can't do it. There was a man. Is this talking about the woman with the issue of blood? There was a blind man. Jesus was coming. And he stood up and started hollering Jesus. And they started rebuking him. That's all it says, is they rebuked him. So more than likely they told him just to sit down, not to bother him, not to bother him, you know. But he pressed on even more with people rebuking him. I got to get to this man, Jesus. Will you heal me? Every incident that everybody pushed towards Jesus, he healed them. Every incident. Every time. That goes to show me, it don't matter what you have. It don't matter what disease it is. It don't matter whether it's an addiction, whether it's whatever it is that you're dealing with in your life. If you will get hungry and desperate and say, Jesus, and you will start taking authority over this thing, I plead the blood of Jesus. I rebuke this thing. I promise you, through the word of God, it will flee. It has to. It cannot stay. It can't stay attached to your body. The power of the blood of the cross is more than enough to watch this stuff flee from you. You know, same thing with for me for tobacco products. I was a tobacco user for, and I don't ever try to ever beat up people because I was a user. I used, you know, for 10 years I dipped, and for the last two of it I smoked with a dip in my mouth. You know, I tried to quit on my own. I couldn't do it. God asked me to preach a sermon against it. What was that, a high awakener? Because I wasn't going to do it. I went to my accountability partner. I said, brother, I said, the Lord asked me to preach a sermon against this stuff. I said, but I do this stuff. I said, and that's hypocrisy, and I don't want to go there. He said, well, if the Lord asked you to do it, and you don't do it, then woe be unto you. Because you don't know if that's your very deliverance. And I said to myself, I said, okay, Lord, I hear you call. I'm going to place my trust in you. And I'm going to do it. And so a week before I went to do this sermon, I said, I'm laying it all down. And so I laid it all down. And all that week, you know, it was tough. But it wasn't near as tough as it was when I tried to do it all on my own. And I got there, and it was a cowboy church, and it made it worse because everybody there did it. And I did the sermon that the Lord asked me to do and said what he told me to say. And nobody wanted to give up their stuff. There was one little girl afterwards. She had just started smoking, trying to smoke. She didn't say anything during the service. She went afterwards to the lady that was over at the cowboy church, and she just broke down and started crying. She said, I just started trying cigarettes. It just devastated and broke her heart. She said, but I don't want to go. I don't want to do that. So, you know, and that very day was my very deliverance. I thought I wanted to try it a little later on down the road, pick it back up. I went and got me a can. I thought I was going to dip. I put a dip in. Yeah, that was a mistake. Actually, I didn't buy a can. I had a can in the dash from previous. I didn't throw one out. And I saw it there. And I went to put it in, and I started getting sick. And I said, Lord, please. I said, I won't touch it again. Just don't let me get sick. I spit that thing out. Ever since then, my desires for tobacco products has been eliminated. Do I miss doing, you know, sitting on a riverbank or a creek bed with a dip in? Sometimes. It's something I used to do all the time. You know, but that craving's not there. That craving is completely eliminated. It's just the fact that that's what I used to do all the time. You know, but it's gone. I wouldn't have never been able to do it if it wasn't for the power of Jesus and through the Holy Spirit and on the blood of Jesus doing it. So, today, all I wanted to do was get up here and encourage you and let you know what the Lord has told me to say. You know, and I believe that's exactly what He's told me to say for today is you have power and you have authority in the blood of Jesus. And you are restored back to the garden, just like Adam and Eve. You have dominion over everything in the earth. Trust me, Satan didn't want this message going out today. I had a headache all day yesterday. From the moment I woke up to the time I went to bed, I had a pounding headache, and ibuprofen didn't touch it. I prayed about it. It just kept pounding. I woke up this morning, I felt amazing. I said, okay, Lord, it's time. Satan didn't want you to hear this. He didn't want you to receive this in your spirit. Because once you truly receive this and you get this revelation, your life will be forever changed. You will look at your life a totally different way. You will start taking control over areas in your life that you had no idea that you could. But it's through Jesus. Now, you're not going to do this on your own. You do, you're just going to wind up like the sons of Sceva and get beat all to pieces by a bunch of demons. They're going to wear you out. But when you do this under the blood and through the power of Jesus, you're going to see this stuff flee. You're going to see it fall off, and it's going to be like a cakewalk. You're going to be like, wow, I'm accomplishing giants. What I thought was, you know, just major, and it's going to feel like it's a little ant. You're going like, wow. But anytime you try to do it on your own, it's going to look like Goliath. And you're going to be like the Israelites, running and hiding behind the rocks. But the very moment that you step out and say, I come in the name of the Lord, just like David did, you're going to flip that rock right into his head. And he's going to fall at your feet. And you're going to whoop him with just a little bit of pebble. Little pebble. See, when Jesus was tempted in the desert, all he needed was one verse. Every time. Every time Satan came at him and had something to say, all Jesus needed was one verse, and it shut him completely down. He had nothing else to say. And he'd try a different tactic, and actually quoting scripture. And he shut him right back down, one verse. And that's what we got to learn. We got to learn to get in here, put it in our spirit, and start using it. God is here for your benefit and for his benefit. For you to be healed brings glory to him. I want you to think about that for a minute. For your body to be healed, it glorifies God, because that was the price that he paid. So when people start seeing you healed and you delivered, they're going to say, well, the doctor said such and such. Well, I know what they said, but look what's happening. A friend of ours, and I'll be done, a friend of ours, Matt Pelt, he's played it here at Celebrate Recovery before. He had stomach cancer. And they took him to the hospital, and this is recent. And his levels is up really, really high for this cancer. And they did some tests and everything and sent him home, and he was going to have to come back within a week, and that was last week, to check for more tests. And his levels was up like 20-something. I don't know what that means, but they was up like 20-something. Well, he went back in the next week for tests, and after he's been praying and rebuking this thing and said, you know, it might be there, but I'm not claiming it, his levels has dropped down to like a 9 without any kind of treatment. Blowing the doctor's minds. I don't get it. I mean, you just don't get healed from cancer or get cured from cancer. Not just without doing anything. You know? That just goes to show that there's still power in the blood of Jesus when we start claiming and naming it. You know, and don't let this old-time religion, I hate to say it, but it is, old-time religion. Well, let me tell you, sonny, how it is. I got my fire quenched quite a few times by older people in the church that says, well, let me tell you how it is. It's like, okay, well, maybe what I'm saying ain't right. And then you start questioning it, and before you know it, it's just like, what am I doing? If I'm not on fire for the Lord and naming it and claiming it and receiving it, then am I getting beat down by Satan? You know, what do I do? I talked to a brother here a while back, and I just said, you know, I'm just feeling good in the Lord, you know. He said, well, that's good, but the devil knows how to knock you down. It's like, you know, it's like, really? Can't I just have a good time in the Lord? You know, but I always like to tell people, you know, I might be on a mountaintop experience today. I know there's a valley coming. But the blood of Jesus will take me through that valley just as well as he does the mountaintop experience. I have to praise him now and praise him even then. So I want you all to be encouraged. You know, I told you I didn't read your mail. I told you I wasn't going to do none of that. I wanted to encourage everyone, you know. That's what the Lord laid on my heart. That's what I feel like everyone needs to hear. You know, I think they need to share it in every church for people to hear, to remember you have power in the blood of Jesus to overcome every demon in hell that rises themselves against you. Every demon. They have to bow their knee to Jesus and flee. That's for anything that you're ever going through. You keep that in your mind and always remember that. I guarantee your life will be changed. It has changed mine. So I'll never look at healing the same. I will lay hands and pray for anybody expecting God to do exactly what I ask him to do. And I'll rebuke a sickness in a second, believing with everything within me that that sickness is going to flee. All right? Are you empowered? Let's pray. I want to pray for you guys. Father, I thank you, God. Thank you for this opportunity to share your word, God. Lord, I know that, Father, we're just willing vessels, Lord God. But, Father, we thank you for the dunamis power, Father, that you give each and every one of us, Father God. And I just ask you to help us, Lord God, to engage into that power, Father, to, Lord, glorify you, Father, in our walk, Father. And that is, Lord, just as you said, casting out demons, Father, healing the sick, Father God. We just thank you and praise you, Lord God, that we're going to do these things. We're going to step into that divine relationship with you, God, that, Father, that will change our lives, Father, and change people's lives around us, Lord God. Lord, for your glory, Father, Lord, we just give you all honor and glory. I pray over each and every one here, Father. Safe travels, God, that you would watch over them, protect them, God, Lord, and be with them, God. We just give you glory and honor and thank you for this day, Father. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Amen. All right. Perfect.
I'm about messing up the train, y'all. I got a 2-minute lesson.
It's all right. I did
wonderful. It takes time or two. I'm not my computer.